Has there ever been a situation where you couldn't find something that was right in front of you? I remember all too often in a class scenario, there would be the answer, maybe even written right there on the board. And the teacher would call on me and I would just go blank and blah, 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 blah. And I couldn't get it when it was right there in front of me. She can testify to this numerous times. I'll call out Tracy. Tracy, I'll be standing in the tool room. Tracy, yo, where is the whatever? She says it's so-and-so right there, second drawer on the right in the toolbox. And I was like, Tracy, I'm standing here in front of the toolbox, second drawer. I'm looking what to the right side of it, and I can't find it. Now, she is not always spiritual toward me. She comes downstairs huffing and puffing, ready to blow my house down. And she says, right there, big boy, don't you see it? I was like, I just missed it. When it comes to the Christian life, nearly every page of the New Testament talks about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I mean, it's there, it's there, it's there, it's there, it's there. But so many times in our Christian lives, we as Americans, especially American Christians, we miss this principle of Lordship. Now, we love to sing about Jesus being our Savior, and He is. Do you realize that 24 times in the New Testament, Jesus is called Savior? Do you realize that 747 times in the New Testament, Jesus is called Lord? And we get, yes, He died on the cross as our substitute in our place. He took our hell so that we could take His heaven. We get that. Woohoo, Jesus is our Savior. But we don't often get the other side of the coin that Jesus is to be our Lord. He is to be our master. He is to be in charge of everything, and we are to continuously submit to His Lordship. When you get the Lordship of Jesus Christ, it changes everything that you do. We're in the book of Romans. The very first verse of the book of Romans, Paul says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. The Romans would have read this. Paul, not just a servant of Jesus Christ, a bond servant or a slave of Jesus Christ. Paul, what are you talking about being a slave of Jesus? He says, oh, very simple. Jesus is my Lord. If you get Lordship, you really have the Christian life. And if you miss this matter of Lordship, pardon me, but you really miss what the Christian life is all about. This morning, three truths about Jesus. Sermons entitled, The Most Neglected Element of American Christianity. First one, notice the authority of Jesus. Romans chapter 14, verse 8. For none of us liveth to himself. No man dieth to himself. Now notice what this phrase says, verse 8. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's, or we belong to the Lord. So the first phrase, whether we live unto the Lord. That means if you have a pulse and you're a Christian, you don't belong to you. You belong to Jesus. That means He is your master. That means He is your Lord. That means He is the final say in everything. Your activities, your associations, everything you do, and everything I do, we should bow our knee and say, Jesus, I want you to be glorified in this. Jesus, I want you to be honored in my speech. I want you to be honored in my activities. I want you to be honored in who I hang out with. Jesus, I want you to be Lord, even in what I watch on television. This matter of Lordship, it changes everything. Jesus is not just your genie in the bottle where you rub it and say, okay, here's what I want, here's what I need, do this. No, 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 no. Jesus is King. Jesus is Lord, where we bow our knee and we submit to His Lordship. You say, what does it mean? It means that Jesus is Lord of my family. And as the spiritual leader of my family, I'm just not supposed to be the activity director trying to make sure that they have a fun environment to live. No, 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 no. I am to make sure that Jesus is King in my home, in my marriage. So everything, I am bringing Jesus into it and say, Jesus, we pray before our food because we want to acknowledge you, even as giving us our daily bread. Jesus, we're going to set no wicked thing before our eyes because you're in control. So Jesus, you set our agenda. You set our schedule. Jesus, we base our whole life on the fact that you are Lord of our family. How about your professional life? Jesus, I own this business. Or Jesus, I'm doing this activity. I'm not going to leave you in a church pew on a Sunday and catch you next Sunday. No, Jesus, you're my Lord. So therefore, I am living every day 24/7 to honor you. Hold on a second. How about your personal life? What nobody sees. Listen, Jesus didn't just die on the cross to pay for your sin. Jesus died on the cross to rescue you from your sin so that you have a new master. You're no longer bondage and a slave to sin. You are a servant of Christ. He is now your Lord. And you say, Jesus, in my personal life, these ears, they belong to you. Jesus, in my personal life, this tongue, it belongs to you. Jesus, these eyes, they belong to you. Jesus, these hands and these feet, I don't want to do anything that you're not pleased because you are my master. Now, look back at the verse. Whether we live unto the Lord. Next phrase. Whether we die unto the Lord. Now, we're a lot better at that one. Oh, yeah. When I die, I have faith that Jesus is going to take me to heaven. All right, Jesus, when I get to heaven, I'm going to bow and I'm going to confess that you are Lord. Yes, I'm good with that dying and you being Lord of me when I die. Hey, that takes the fear of death out. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be, nervous about dying. The Lord of my life is also the Lord of my death. So therefore, I confidently live in this life to honor Jesus, and I confidently die and enter the next life to honor Jesus. Listen, it's all about Jesus, period. And if you get lordship, you get it. In this time period, every year the Roman citizens were required to go to a pagan temple. They were required to get some incense, offer it on that pagan altar, and to say this, Caesar is Lord. And if they wouldn't, it would be persecution. They would be given another opportunity. And if they refused the second time, no, confess that Caesar is Lord. If they would not, they would give them one last chance, third opportunity. Confess Jesus as Lord, or you will be thrown to the lions. You will be burned at the stake. And the Christian said, we can't confess Caesar is Lord. He's not Lord of heaven and earth. Jesus is. Caesar didn't die on a cross for us. Jesus did. I'm sorry. Throw me to the lions. Burn me at the stake. I'm sorry. But Caesar is not Lord. Jesus is. Kill me if you must. And I come to American Christians, us. We love Jesus being our Savior. We get a little bit nervous about Jesus being our Lord. Wait a minute, that cramps my style. Wait a minute. That's going to change my vocabulary. That's going to change who I hang with. I don't know all about that. Let me give you a verse. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. You figure out your way around this verse. Colossians 3, verse 23 says, "And whatsoever ye do," that's everything, "do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." So you say, well, what about this activity? And what about this? And what about this? And I say, the issue is clear. Jesus is Lord, and you don't get to decide. He does. My first boss at Chick-fil-A when I was 15 years old, making $3.50 an hour, guy was a great guy, the immediate boss over me. Great guy. But he had this habit. I'm 15. He had this habit that he called me boss man. "Hey, boss man, butter those buns. Hey, boss man, we need some more chicken." Now, and he's a big-time executive way up in Chick-fil-A today. But I never got that. Wait a minute. You make more money than I do. You got more authority than I do. Wait a minute. You can fire people and hire people, and yet you're calling me boss man, but nobody comes to me and recognizes my authority. They all come to you and they ask all the questions. Why are you calling me boss man? It did not compute. And I wonder if that's not Jesus. Why are you your boss man? You didn't die for you. Why are you making all of the decisions for your life? Because you weren't purchased with your blood. You were purchased with His blood. Listen, listen, listen. If you get lordship, you have the Christian life. And if you don't get lordship, quite possibly you miss the Christian life. Number one, the authority of Jesus. Number two, the acquisition by Jesus. Look at verse 9. "For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be Lord both of the dead and of the living." So in those days, it's not right, it's wrong, it's wicked, but in those days people would sell slaves on the auction block. So when the asking price was met, the slave became property of the one who bought them, the one who purchased them. Well, historians tell us that in Rome, they had over 600,000 slaves in the Roman Empire. Historians tell us that it was not unusual for the doctors and the lawyers and even the professional class to be owned by another. They were slaves, even though they had positions of prominence. And listen to what 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 says. What? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" Notice verse 20. "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God." So at the cross, Jesus purchased you. All of us were condemned because of our sin, sentenced to death. We were owned by Satan. And because of our sin, we were destitute. We were hopeless. We were miserably headed toward hell. And Jesus said, "No, no, no, no. I will pay their price. I will pay for their sin. I will pay for it with my own blood." And off of the auction block, Jesus purchased you. So therefore, you are not owned by Satan anymore. You are owned by Jesus. That means, when you accept Him as your Savior, you're also accepting His lordship. You're also accepting His authority. Jesus, because you died for me, because you died as my substitute for my sin, I accept you as my Savior, and therefore you automatically become my Lord. Tracy hates it when I go to auctions. Now, my deal is, I love auctions. And back in previous years, back when I had a lot more money than I do now, I would go to a lot of auctions. I mean, we would go to house auctions, and we would go to car auctions. And I even went to a few of those storage unit auctions where you just, and I get into that bidding stuff where I would bid just so I could get what was behind that. And oh, sometimes I got burned, but sometimes I would just get a masterpiece that we could fix up and I could show up. Yeah, that's what I bought. Listen. That's Jesus. That's what Jesus did for you. He went to the devil's stomping ground and He snatched you. He bought you. He purchased you not with silver, not with gold, but with His own blood. And He says, hey, you're not your own. Let me fix you up. Let me make you a masterpiece. Let me show you off to the world what I can do with your life. But the key for Jesus to fix you up, you have to acknowledge His lordship. Listen to the way Peter described it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. I've often wondered what it would be like to be that slave, standing there hopeless, standing there. Does anybody want me? Does anybody see any value in me? I hope I get a good master. I hope the one who purchases me is nice. Friend, Jesus didn't buy you with money. He bought you with His own life. And listen, if you were the only one person that was on that auction block that day, Jesus would have given His life just for you. And the response, Jesus, we love you. And in response, you're our Lord. We don't want to deviate and go a little bit and do our own thing. No, Jesus, you are our Lord. So you tell me to speak up, I'm speaking up. Jesus, you tell me to shut up, and I'm shutting up. Jesus, you tell me to do this, and I'm doing it. And you tell me not to do this, and I'm not doing it. The issue in the Christian life is, who is your Lord? Number two, the acquisition by Jesus. Number three, we're done. The assessment by Jesus. Look what verse 10 says. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. There's coming a time when every believer will be examined for their actions at the judgment seat of Christ. We will not be judged for our sins. That happened at the cross 2,000 years ago. This will be after the cross. We are going to, notice what it says, we will give an account of our deeds. The account means a verbal rendering. I don't know how that is going to work out, but time will be no more. Time is no issue. I don't know if everybody will do it at the same time, one-on-one with Jesus, or if we'll wait in line and we will give an account of our actions before Christ at that moment. But at that moment, you're standing before the judge. You see His nail prints in His hands and His feet. You see the scars on His face. And at that moment, you do not want to have wasted your life. Look at verse 12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself. No need to judge others. Don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry, well, that guy is ripping off the system. Well, that guy is a cheat. That guy, don't worry about your neighbor. You worry about you. Friend, forget everybody else is here. There's coming a day when you will stand before Jesus and give an account of your actions after you accepted Him as your Savior. On that day, all that's really going to matter is the Lordship of Jesus. Wood, hay, and stubble. Oh, let's go do this, and oh, let's do this, and let's do that. All of that stuff burns to the ground. All that's going to matter is, what did you do for Jesus? What did you do to promote His kingdom? And some of you teenagers saying, I don't know about this. I'm young. I want to have fun. I want to just enjoy. Sow my wild oats. Friend, your wild oats will hurt you. They will hurt you for eternity. Don't sow your wild oats. Sow the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. It will only help you. Daniel Webster made this statement: the greatest thought that has ever entered my mind is that one day I will have to stand before a holy God and give an account of my life. Listen to this verse. Matthew 12, verse 36. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Friend, lordship is huge. It's not, oh yeah, that preacher, he's just going up. No. The key to the Christian life. Who's your Lord? You say, well, that's just Paul. The Old Testament believers believe this. Job chapter 16, verse 19. Now behold, my witness is in heaven. My record is on high. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, hold duty of man. Verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good, whether it be evil. Bobby Welch was the pastor of First Baptist Daytona Beach, Florida, for years. His testimony: he was a saved believer that was backslid in Vietnam. He was leading his men. When he stepped on a twig, and he said, when I stepped on that twig, I knew something was wrong. And I turned to my right and I saw fire coming after me. This bolt of lightning coming after me hit me in the chest and threw me yards back. He said, I began to throw up blood and spit up blood. He said, it wasn't a question of, was I going to heaven? I knew I had accepted Jesus as my Savior. I knew I was going there. My thought as I lay there, what I thought, bleeding to death: I'm going to be so ashamed. Jesus gave everything for me, and I've been living for myself. I've been living to make me happy, to please me. I'm going to be so embarrassed. And I come to you with tears in my eyes. The issue is lordship. It's not you getting all of your stuff and living life how you want to. The issue is Jesus. If you've never accepted Him as Savior, you realize that you're a sinner, you realize you need a perfect substitute. Jesus, I commit my life to You. You take my hell, I've taken Your heaven. I commit to be Your follower. I commit that You are my Lord and my Savior. But listen, a lot of us have accepted Jesus as our Savior, but we haven't made Him president. We haven't made Him king. We haven't made Him ruler in everything in our lives. Look back at the verse one last time. Verse 11. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee, see the next word, shall bow to me. Every tongue, see the next word, shall confess to God. It's not a question of if. It's a question of when. So I come to you, and as lovingly as I can, I grab you by the shoulders and I say, hey, don't live for you. Don't make all of the sacrifices to gratify you. Live today for Jesus. Live today to make Him King. Live today to make Him known for all of eternity. You will be rejoicing if you live fast for Jesus as Lord. And listen, for all of eternity, you're going to be sad that you did not do more for the one who gave everything for you, Jesus Christ. Stories told of Abraham Lincoln when he was assassinated. They were taking his body from Washington, D.C., taking him to his home place where they were going to bury him in Illinois. They took him a long route and took him through some of the major cities of America. He was coming down one of those major thoroughfares, and there was an African American lady who took her little son, who got there early, she thought, but she was 5 or 6 or 7 feet back from where Mr. Lincoln's coffin was going to pass by. As the coffin came by, she got as close as she could. She picked up that little boy. She put him on her shoulders, and he says, "Honey, look, that man died so that you could be free." And my word to you today is Jesus died on the cross, not just to be your Savior, but to be your Lord. And in being your Lord, that's when you find true, lasting freedom. Is Jesus your Lord?